Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Don't Hold Your Tongue Radio. I am your host, Divine. I am very excited about today's show. We are kicking off 2017 with really some great shows. We have some great shows coming up. And we will be on air twice a month. So definitely stay connected via Facebook, Divine Valentine, V-A-L-E-N-T-I-N, or you can email me at divine, D-I-V-I-N-E, number four, word life, at gmail.com. You can also stay connected with me via blogtalkradio.com/DHYT. You can definitely set up your free Blog Talk Radio profile and chat with us during the show. I look forward to hearing from you. We have a special guest today to join us on the show. I'm excited because, you know, let me just share something with you real quick. The great thing about waking up in the morning and starting a new day and, you know, putting yourself in position to make new choices and just seeing your life in a whole nother kind of beautiful way. And, you know, I say all of that and I'm real dramatic with it, but I say all that because I had a plan to make this show what I wanted. And it's happening that way. I decided to start with my family this year when it came to creating shows for Blog Talk Radio because my family members are doing some great things. And I want to share that with you. The gentleman that I have joining us this morning is my okay, so I have three older brothers. He's my youngest brother, but he's like seven years older than me. And he's very inspiring. He was the first one to put, let me see, I probably was about 15, 16 years old, and he put, what's his name? I'll ask him when he comes on the line. I'm going to ask him. He gave me one of my first books and taught me about body language. Taught me about eye movement and when people talk to you and how to catch a liar and, you know, I'm just paying attention to people. And I appreciate him for that. We share book titles. We share our life journeys together. And it's really cool to have that type of connection with one of my brothers. And so I want to share with you his journey and where he's at in life and how he's helping people get better. And just enjoy being in the water and enjoying the sports that they already do. And understand you don't actually have to just be playing sports to do this deep water running thing. It's really just a great way to better yourself. Your posture is what I've also learned. Your core. So definitely stay tuned, okay? We are going to bring on the line Mr. Valentine in just a few moments. I also want to let you know that Don't Hold Your Tongue Radio has a list of archived shows that I have done in the past couple of years. So if you want to listen in on some of the archived shows, you're more than welcome to do that. I have done shows ranging from fathers raising daughters to domestic violence to we had an open mic online. So, and that was one of my first shows. So definitely check it out. I appreciate you. If you have any feedback, any comments, any questions you may have about the show, if you want me to plug something that you're doing, something positive that you're doing in the community during one of my shows, I am very happy to do that. We might even be able to barter something, you know? But if you could use it, I can use it, all right? I hope you enjoy the show today, and I will bring Mr. Valentine on the line now. Robert J. Valentine.
Hi, sister.
Hi. Thank you so much for joining me, and Don't Hold Your Tongue Radio. Thank you for being in the phone booth. How are you feeling today?
I feel great. I feel great. A little nervous.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me well?
You sound great. You sound great. Okay. I'm sorry that I couldn't see you this morning. My listeners, we were trying to Skype with each other to be able to just, you know, make it more, a little bit more comfortable. When you can see one another, it makes it, you know, that much comfortable, but it wasn't working, mm-hmm. But that's okay. I can hear you really well. So,
right. Well, prep yesterday helped.
Yeah, we did. we had a conversation yesterday. All right, so let's go right into it. I understand that you were, first of all, you're out of New York City, and that is where you run your business. And I understand that you actually started learning how to swim around 8, 9 years old, correct?
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. Learning how to swim before that, I mean, we were always in the water and around the water, but, you know, learning how to swim, you know, strokes and how to, like, save yourself in the water, I guess, yeah, at the Boys and Girls Club.
And when did you get to a point where it went from you learning that to actually lifeguarding? Because I know that's where the first start of, like, you getting paid for something happened, right?
Right. You know, I like that. I was always at the Boys and Girls Club when I was young. And by the time you're about, I think it's 15 or 16, you can get a lifeguarding certificate, right? You can become a lifeguard. And, you know, we lived in the Bronx. And, you know, growing up in the Bronx, it's not like you're around water and all that stuff. And you have access to, you know, that type of thing. So I was fortunate to be at the Boys and Girls Club, and I met one of my first mentors who, you know, noticed that I knew how to teach swimming. I would teach swimming to the other kids in the class, you know, when they weren't getting something. And anyway, he's the one that introduced me to lifeguard training back then, that is what it was called. And it's a certificate you get from the American Red Cross. And I never forget, he told me, you know, as long as you have the certificate, you'll always be able to have a job. You know, I remember him saying that. And so I became a lifeguard, and that's how I, you know, that's how I started in the aquatics, you know, industry, let's say.
And then from lifeguarding, it went to actual teaching?
Yeah, so I would, you know, I would teach, lifeguard and teach. I was teaching early, you know, like I said, just with other kids. And then you get a water safety instructor certificate, which is just, you know, a license to teach swimming, which also, again, gets you to, you know, teach swimming for at different, you know, the YMCA, blah, 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 at these different places that teach swimming. It's good to have a license. And so that's what that was. And that's how I started teaching swimming. And, you know, I had other jobs. I had other jobs growing up, you know, but I really started, once I started lifeguarding and teaching swimming, that's pretty much all I did, you know, from probably 18 years old up until now. You know, I found that lifeguarding, you know, paid so much more than, you know, I had a job at a bakery. I was cleaning pans and pots and stuff and making, you know, $6, I think, an hour. And when you mm-hmm. lifeguarded, you made, you know, probably 10. And if you taught, you probably made, you know, 12. And so it was something that I liked to do. So not lifeguarding so much, but teaching.
I know from watching you, because I have seen you teach classes before, people are very attracted mm-hmm. to you. You know, your personality, mm-hmm. you shine. Your smile, mm-hmm. the kids love you, you know, the kids love you. Like, if they're really scared of the water, it's like, mm-hmm. okay, I'm not scared no more. What do you think that is? Like, I mean, I know you have daughters. Have they learned how to swim by you?
Yeah, oh, absolutely, right? Yeah, definitely. I don't know, you know, it's, but I'll say whatever that is, it's what sets me apart from other, even with deep water running, which, you know, we'll get into deep water running and stuff, but I think, you know, I don't know, I guess it is important to develop a trust, right? Whether it's kids or adults, you know, especially with them in the water, you know, teaching someone how to swim, kids, you know, kids are very intuitive, you know, and so if you have, I'm not exactly sure where that comes from, but I know that I love what I'm doing, whether it's with the kids or whether it's with adults, and that's probably what comes through.
Yeah.
And then I try to, you know, I try to be definitely engaging, right? I'm always interested, you know. I think it's a genuine thing that comes off of me, I guess, and that's you know, and that does that, that helps a lot when it comes to you trying to get someone's, you know, trust and then teach them to do something and then give them the, you know, the motivation and, you know, whether it's kids or adults, you know. So I think you have to really like to do it, first of all.
Sure. What would you recommend for parents as far as swimming? What age would you recommend? I mean, granted, the earlier the better. I have 9-year-old twins, as you know, and
yeah.
they're hardly ever really in the water. They do know how to stay afloat. They don't necessarily uh-huh. know how to swim. So what would mm-hmm. you say recommended age for a child to learn how to swim?
Well, you know, the best thing is when it's really early, when you're
yeah.
when your kids are babies, you know, and you know, they have, you know, of course, many, you know, aquatic facilities have mommy and me classes, and they can start as early as 6 months old. And that's, you know, that's a good thing to do, but that can start at home. You don't have to take a class. It starts at home, like in the tub.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I said for years to like parents, when you wash your, like you wash the kids in the tub, you pull water over their face. The first thing you usually do is like wipe their face, you know,
mm-hmm.
They get water on their face, you wipe their face. And it's one of the ways to show them that having water on your face isn't good. So that's one easy thing to remember. It's like, you know, especially when they're young, they don't know the difference. So, but yeah, the earlier the better. And when they're that young, you're not teaching them to swim per se. You're showing them that the water is fun and stuff. And then that translates later in life for them. There's a program where they actually teach infants. You know, you can find it on YouTube. I don't know the name of it, but they actually teach infants to, if they happen to fall in the water, they can roll over on their backs, and you can you know, see these months old, and that's a life saving technique for them. It's usually like on the West Coast and stuff. But yeah, the earlier the better. Sorry,
Mom was telling me when she went to visit, and my mother, ladies and gentlemen, is obviously older, and believe it or not, she doesn't know how to swim. She loves the water, but she doesn't know how to swim. So she goes to New York, and my brother, who you're listening to now, gave her a lesson in swimming, okay? But she told me that you did mention something to her about rolling over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So go into that a little bit, yeah.
Well, you know, the being on your back, like being able to float on your back, or actually just being able to lay in the water, you know, floating with your head up, is, you know, the safest position for you to learn, you know, in the water. So if in Mom's case, you know, she could go on her stomach and she could go on her back, but she couldn't, she had to be in a horizontal like position, you know, like she had to be on her stomach or on her back. She couldn't, you know, stand up, let's say, you know.
Okay.
So you know, you want to be able to learn how to get to the wall if you fall in the water, you know, if you happen to be in the water and by accident you're not a comfortable swimmer. Like the first thing I get you to learn how to do is to be able to get onto your back, you know, put your head back, leave your face out, and trust your ability to float, and then make your way to the wall, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of what Mom, that's what helped Mom a lot when we did our lesson, you know.
Like she felt like she was a professional already. It was, I couldn't stop her. Because I'm glad you don't have a pool in the backyard, like for real. All right, so I want to talk about some of your accomplishments. Okay, so you ran marathons. I need to know how this happened. Okay, so you went from lifeguarding to teaching, and then, where did the running come from? So now my brother's running. So what is this about?
Swimming, you know, swimming is my first, whatever it is, it's my, you know, my first, that's what I do for exercise. I run too now, but basically I'd been a swimmer for all those years. And that was my, you know, that's whether I competed in swimming and stuff like that. That's what I did mostly. But I had always done deep water running, with Doug, who was my mentor, who I met later on after teaching in different places in New York City. And Doug was, you know, a great, was my mentor. He was so important to me, and he taught me the deep water running that I do. What kept me away from running was that everyone who came to a deep water running workout, right? Not everyone, but for the most part, they were injured runners, like people who were injured from running, right? Like, and they would also just kind of keep running and not stop running, you know, so they were always injured. And I never wanted to run because I thought, what's the point in running? Everybody who runs is always hurt, you know, like it pounds on your body, it pounds on your knees, it pounds, you know, and, but over the years, actually, you know, I started running with a friend of mine, you know, with a girlfriend I was seeing. And I started to like going outside, going out, you know, in the park and running, you know, like a typical New Yorker, you know, you see that all around the city. And I started to enjoy that, you know, and I did a couple of races and so on and so forth. But I wanted to be able to use deep water running to keep me from getting injured, you know. So one, I didn't run as many miles as most like runners do. And then I wanted to kind of, again, to promote deep water running. I wanted to, you know, show that I don't need to run 100 miles a week on the road to be able to run a marathon, let's say, right? Or a half marathon and so on. So all the training I've done and all the times I've done a half marathon or a whatever running races I started to do, I've done incorporating deep water running, right?
Wow.
As my training for running. You know, I run on the road, yes. You know, when I was training for the marathon, I ran in the water, you know, which doesn't beat my body up, right? But it gives you great cardio, and we'll talk about that stuff. But I did that the majority of the time. And then I believe that prevented me from getting hurt while I was training for the marathon. A lot of people get hurt while they're training for the marathon, you know, because they're running so much. So anyway, yeah, I use that as a way to kind of promote deep water running and for myself too, to see how great, you know, it was to be able to, you know, have that discipline as a workout venue, you know, deep water running.
Wow. Okay, so we're going to continue running. Is that what we're doing? We're looking for other competitions?
Yeah, you know, I swim, of course, right? And so, and, you know, triathlon is a big thing. It's been for years now, and it's growing and growing and growing. And there was a time, Doug Stern used to always encourage me to do triathlon. And I stood away from triathlon because I didn't like I wasn't experienced with running. And so I never wanted to do a triathlon until I knew I could run. And so part of my development with running, you know, is preparing me to do, you know, a full Ironman triathlon. Last year I just did an Olympic triathlon. And you know, I wouldn't have done that if I didn't have those years. I've probably been running, I don't know, probably maybe 10 years or so where I've been running as part of my exercise and doing like roadrunner races and stuff like that. And like the marathon last year. But all that is kind of preparing me because I want to end up doing a full Ironman, which is a full marathon at the end of running, of biking and swimming. So yeah, I'm going to keep running as long as I don't get hurt.
Yeah. Now, do you go and run in the mornings, and you do all of that at least just for the sport of it? Do you, you know, just
right,
for the fun of it?
Right. Well, yeah, and because I do enjoy the, you know, it's different than swimming. You know, swimming is of course I'm proficient at swimming. You know, but you don't have the effects of gravity. You don't have the effects of, you know, the pounding of the road, right? And and so it's a different, you know, when I first started running and when I do start running, it's a different kind of feeling. And I like that. And like I said, I like to go out. You know, you and I talk about like how we use our heads and put ourselves in the right frames of mind and stuff, and that's part of what I do. You know, I get out to run sometime during the day, probably 3 times a week, and
wow.
I have a chance to go outside, run, of course, exercise, right? And then, you know, I stretch in the park, and it's just part of keeping me, you know, taking advantage of the time that I have, you know.
Yeah. Now, you talked about Doug Stern and how he introduced you to the deep water running. I love that story on how you guys actually connected. I thought it was really funny how people were intimidated by him at times. And then you kind of just, you know, came in like, well, he's a guy like me. And he asked and I answer and we have conversations and now we're connected. Okay, you did mention that you had jobs in between. Now you're an entrepreneur and you're running your business with deep water running and still teaching swimming classes, correct?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and you're still working with kids. And let me tell you, my listeners, I got to tell you this real quick. I was in New York this past year, and I went and sat in one of his deep water running classes. I think that's what it was because Elohim was there and one of my my nephews was there, and my brother's class was full of women, and it was crazy because they love him. You know, we love your brother. I don't even know if they're paying attention half the time. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, they were all women. They were all senior citizens. It was crazy. It was crazy, but it was fun to see, and it was very interesting. Everybody wore a belt. And I'll let you talk about that a little bit, but I wanted to just kind of just talk a little bit about how we got into this being, you know, your everyday work as far as your one man business. So I want to know about that. How did that happen for you?
How did I end up, you know, working for myself? Like,
yeah,
you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And
yeah,
like
we were talking about, you know, when you, like you said, I'm passionate about what I do. I love what I do. You know, when you're somebody who connects with people and you know, you're passionate about what you do, you do that for a living, you want to be compensated for it, right? And it takes a lot of, it's not effort. I don't mean to say it's effort, but it takes a lot of you, right, of me to, you know, to give, especially teaching kids, not especially kids, in general. You know, you're giving a lot of yourself when you're, you know, when you're teaching kids, especially, you know, you want to be engaged, you want to be fun, and so on and so forth. And so over the years, you know, whatever job it was, whether it was a full-time job as a director of an aquatic, you know, facility or you're in life in general, right? You're not compensated, you know, as much as you think you should be. Okay. But to make a long story short, I ended up working at a place that was a $1 billion company, with so much money this place had. And I was a full-time teacher. You know, I was like, I thought I, you know, had a great job and got to a point where I had this great job just teaching swimming full-time.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't very much money, you know, you know, at some point, I just couldn't make enough money there. And when I went in to try to, you know, see if I could make more money, I was given a dollar raise. It's pretty much what I came down to. Here, you're worth $1 more, you know.
Right.
And, you know, it came down to at one point, you know, I could either stay or I could go, make the money that I make or not. And, you know, when you give so much every day, I couldn't do that anymore. And I always had deep water running. I always taught some swimming on the side while I had a full-time job. And I just took the chance one time. I just, you know, gave up on, I was just, you know, kind of tired of not being able to make a living.
Yeah.
With something I love to do so much, you know, and when you work at a facility like that, they make all the money, you know, they make all the money off of you, you know, and I was a draw, you know, from the kids to whoever I taught with, you know, so, but yeah, I took a chance and I left that job. And at the time, I didn't have another job. All I had was deep water running and my classes. So I took the chance on, on just
building
doing that and trying to.
It's a matter
yeah.
of building up what you had, right?
Right, pretty much, yeah. It was you know, building on what I already had and then trusting or trying to believe that I can,
That's right.
Make a living doing that. You know, I pretty much had no other choice, but I did know that it was always there as another source of income for me, you know.
Right. And being able to see or trying to see the bigger picture in a situation where you didn't have another job to go to. And one of the things that amazed me too with what you're doing and how you're doing it is that you live in New York where it's not cheap to live. So
right,
you know. So I say that, and that's not to say you don't have your ups and downs. That's not to say that at times you don't get stressed out or wonder where your next, you know, where your bill is, how your bill is going to get paid and what have you. I say that only to say that nothing is impossible.
Right. And, you know, we were talking, you know, there was a point, you know, Doug Stern pretty much lived life where he taught deep water running. I wanted to have the life that Doug Stern had. And I realized a couple of years ago that I pretty much have that now, you know,
right.
Where I love what I do. I accept how much, you know, money I charge. I know what I'm worth, and Doug also taught me that people will appreciate that, and it's a whole different when you're, especially when you're teaching swimming or deep water running for that matter. You're giving people a life skill, you know, and sometimes you're changing people's lives, you know, like when you work with people who are phobic or beginners, and then for as far as deep water running goes, you. You know, people that are hurt and can't run, somebody has a marathon coming up, you know, and they're hurt and they can't run and they find my deep water running workouts, they can work out, stay in shape, and then still do the marathon that they thought they couldn't do, you know, and that's also life-changing for them, you know. So.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So now we're working it out. And we are actually in the process, Mr. Valentin and I are in the process of actually bringing him out here so he can teach a weekend of deep water running. So if you are interested and you are listening and you want to get involved and you want to learn more about deep water running, and we're definitely about to get into that now, but you get to meet him and you get to have that hands-on with him for that weekend, and I'll provide more details as they come. But we are working on bringing Mr. Valentin out here so he can help give you that skill. So let's go ahead and go right into it. So deep water running, right? Okay, so I guess then with that, it goes back to meeting Doug Stern and how you were introduced to it. Go ahead and go into it and then, you know, talk about its benefits.
Right, you know, yeah, it's interesting. I only thinking about yeah, I met Doug. Doug was really a great, you know, swim coach as well, right? And, of course, well-known in the city, and he was well-known for teaching swimming, but also his deep water running workouts, right? And so I would go and teach deep water running for Doug when he wasn't around or when he needed help. And he's – deep water – the technique that we use it's unique. You know, I call Doug the father of deep water running because he taught it to me. And it basically started as something that I would do for Doug on the side. And I did that for a lot of years with Doug. And when Doug passed away, I promised to keep up his legacy of deep water running and swimming.
Okay, and then go ahead. Go on with the with how you incorporate deep water running into someone's regimen as far as running and their marathons and.
Right. Okay. So you know, so deep water running is it's really kind of what it sounds like, right? You're really running in the deep end of a pool.
Okay.
You don't need to know how to swim. You wear a flotation belt, and that makes you stay afloat.
Okay.
And there's no impact on your body. So, like I said, those people that are hurt from running, they may be runners, they may not be runners, but they may be hurt from all kinds of things. I've had dancers in class. I've had all kinds of people. There's no impact on your body, right? And so you're able to work your cardio. You're able to get your cardio up. And then the resistance to the water creates almost a strengthening workout as well. The benefits are cardio, the benefits are strength, and then muscle imbalance is also something that deep water running helps you with, and it's very easy to learn. It's an easy thing to do. It's just hard to master, and that's because you want to stay stationary when you run. That means, you know, as we're running, we're all running in one place, like you're not moving. And in order for you to stay in one place, a lot of things have to happen. You know, you have to be standing upright as you're trying to work against the water. You want to stay upright, which means you're going to have to engage your core, right? And then you're trying to move your arms and your legs past the center of your body, which, you know, would say is your hips. And you want to be able to move your arms and legs equally back and forth past your hip bone. I've got four different strides that we do. We run running power walk, uphill, downhill, and running on the flats. And those are just different variations to your stride length, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you're imbalanced, you're not able to – you may be able to stride forward with your arm and leg, but not backward. You know, and that'll have you moving forward across the pool, or you might move to the left and to the right if you move those ways. One side is stronger than the other. And so at first it's hard for you to stay stationary. And when you are able to stay stationary, all those things are happening, like your core is engaged, your range of motion has improved. And then the resistance of the water, trying to go hard against the water, is what gives you that cardio effect. And what's great, Sam, is that, as you said, there are senior citizens in class. Deep water running is really, and I have all kinds of people at deep water running, older, younger, athletes, non-athletes. It's great for pregnant women. I've had pregnant women into their eighth and ninth month, you know, doing deep water running. And then, you know, the actual performance benefits of it, just, you know, I've had plenty of runners come to me. I have one story in particular where one woman was out for 8 weeks and she was injured. She's an avid runner and a marathoner, and she got hurt and couldn't run for 8 weeks. Her PT told her, and no impact on the road. She couldn't have any at all, and she had a marathon coming up. And she did deep water running. I mean, she did do it 3 days a week. Most people do it, you know, once a week, maybe twice a week. But she did deep water running 3 days a week for the 8 weeks that she was injured. And when she did her marathon, she improved her time, her best time, by 8 minutes.
Wow.
You know, 8 minutes and 30-something seconds. And I always use those kind of stories to show, you know, the benefits of that on a performance level. But But even if you're not an athlete and stuff like that, it's still a great way to have a great workout without the stressors of, you know, of pounding on your joints and stuff like that.
Yeah. What do you find most challenging when it comes to teaching the deep water running with people? What do you either find some of their challenges, or what are some of your challenges? And, you know, I want to ask you this too. When I was in your class, you didn't go in the water.
Yes.
How did that work? Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, interesting, right? And that's great. Well, two things. Deep water running. You know, when Doug used to do deep water running, I used to actually pray that he didn't ask me to do it for him, because I didn't know what the hell you were supposed to be doing standing there telling people to run. You know, it's like it looked like
right.
that. And Doug was this, when Doug taught people to run, Doug was a man full of stories and life, and, you know, and so when he's coaching people to run, he's telling story after story, you know, just, he's Doug, you know, and so I just, how the hell am I going to, please don't, I was scared to death of So what I used to do, which Doug didn't do so much, is you could be doing deep water running. You could be running into the freaking wall. You could be doing it wrong. He didn't freaking care. Just you're in the water. I tell you how to do it. Freaking do it and pay attention. He didn't stand there and, you know, baby you, let's say, right? So what I had to do to teach deep water running was I had to focus on the actual technique of it and make sure that everyone in the class, like, knew that I saw what they were doing. I wanted to improve how they were doing it, blah, 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 blah. And that's how I kept myself engaged during the class, you know. And so that became my style of coaching deep water running, was to be able to almost like a coach swimming, you know, in that way, like really give you technique, tell you what you do, be able to pick up on things that people are doing in a big group and so on and so forth. When I teach swimming, I'm in the water, you know, when I teach you how to swim, it's important for you to see things that I do. It's important for me to be in the water with you, and especially as a beginner in my beginner classes and so on. But deep water running, you have to be able to see people's movements, you know, because like I said, it's hard for you to stay in one place. And you want to be able to see what they're doing to be able to tell them what, you know, how to make that better. And I'm constantly on deck kind of demonstrating the motion, you know. And so the reason I'm not in the water when I do deep water running is because I want to be able to help everybody in the class. And so I've got to see them, right? And then they also have to see me. They really have to see me and the even with all the visuals that I give you and the cues that I give over and over again. People still get, you know, kind of, you know, lost with, you know, why they're moving to one side or the other. People aren't breathing. Yeah. You'll be really surprised. People don't breathe, even though their face is out of the water. And so things like that. So that's a good question. I mean, but that's why I'm not in the water when I do deep water running. There are times where I jump in just to get on people's, just to show people that they're being lazy. And I stand there and run next to them. We run a set and I'm not wearing a belt and I have clothes on. I mean, I have a shirt and shorts on, and just to show them that crap up about. I do stuff like that, but for the most part, I'm on the pool deck, you know, being really visual for them, you know, talking to them, giving them cues. And then the other interesting thing is, like we said, they're different ages, they're different fitness levels, the different reasons why people are there. Some people aren't runners at all. Like I said, I've had, you know, dancers and stuff and so on. And, but you always work at your own pace. So, you know, Sandy, my sister, who I call Sandy, might be running, you know, you might be next to, you know, Hazel, and Hazel's like doing, you know, 4 strides, you know, every 15 seconds, and Sandy might be doing, you know, 30, you know, so that person, the fitness level doesn't matter. You're all doing the same workout, but you work at your own fitness level. And that's why it's been so, I don't know. I think that's one of the reasons it has been able to stay popular in, especially here in New York City, where there are so many damn things that you can do. Always new things, always new workouts being introduced, you know, there's always a different, you know, and it's been around for a long time, you know, and I think that's one of the reasons it's a really versatile thing and very flexible and thing for people to do.
What's your youngest, would you say would be your youngest client for water running?
I've had teenagers. You know, I did a thing a couple of years ago for, I've had a national caliber soccer player. I did a thing for high school sports, USA Today. And they brought this young man who was looking for another form of cross training for himself. He's a soccer player, and they did a little story on me working with him in the water on running, you know, deep water running, and he was a soccer player. So yeah, he was 14, I think.
Wow.
And then you might have parents. A lot of parents run with their kids. So, you know, especially here in the city. So I've had, you know, I think they're as young as 12. You know, in that case, they're usually some kids who run. They run with their parents, or they run, you know, and they might be injured or not injured. That's another. It's not really just for when you're injured, obviously, people are running. But, yeah, probably 12 is the youngest I've had in the pool for that.
And I remember in our conversation yesterday, I was asking you if this has to happen in some special pool, because I'm sure people are wondering, do I have to go to a center? Do I have to, you know, go to a gym? Do I have to, you know, pay a membership to do this type of thing in this type of pool?
Right.
But you say that there is no special pool as long as there is a deep end.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, right. You know, that's another thing is like, yes, it's just, yeah, you know, any pool where your feet don't touch the floor. You don't have to be a swimmer. You know, I've actually used, of course, I get people who hear deep water running, want to do deep water running. They may not be a swimmer, or they may not even be comfortable in the water. But with those people, yes, we work in a pool. Some of the pools that have the deepest end is, you know, let's say 12 feet. But as long as your feet don't touch the floor, that's what you want. You want no impact. So I might get people who don't swim, and they can stay over in the 5 foot, 6 inch section of the pool, you know, just because psychologically it makes a difference whether you're in, you know, 6 feet of water or 9 feet of water. But, any pool, as long as it's about 6 feet deep.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they have all kinds of, the aquatics industry is a huge industry, you know, they have all kinds of water belts and water things, you know, for you to buy. But our belt, the belt that I use, is a real simple belt that costs, you know, probably costs about $7.
Right.
You know, so it's a simple little flotation belt, a deep end of the pool. And you can learn it. You know, I do go in and teach it. And then I do have like some private clients, and you can do it on your own, you know.
Sure.
The reason you do it in the class setting, I guess, is that it does, you know, if you want to do it right and you want a really strong workout, you really want to be able to, you know, how to do it, know how to do it well. And then, and you can take that with you and use it on your own too.
Yeah. And even with that, I mean, the support system, do you find that a lot of people in your class support each other?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They bring each other, they bring friends, you know, especially, you know, let's say, you know, I ended up seeing a few ballet dancers because one of the girls was hurt, and she had a friend, and when she did deep water running, she loved it because she could stay in shape, and actually it helps you heal from your injury. And so people will tell their friends, they'll bring friends. It's a way to, you know, people definitely share that with each other. And then, and in class too, I mean, you know, mom knows it's just a really fun atmosphere anyway, you know.
Yeah.
I'm constantly talking to people and so people support each other. Definitely.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to advertisement and, like, you know, you're running this business on your own and what have you, you know, a lot of people don't go into, and I'm going back to the entrepreneurial part of this, because it's big, and it's a big part of what you do, and it's an everyday thing, right? You don't have any days off when it comes to running your own business. So when it comes to the advertising and the promotional part of it, and a lot of people don't go into their own business because of money. Where do you find, like, the cheapest way to go when it comes to advertising for what you do? Like, when you first started running, I remember you getting your shirts done, and I remember you putting your logos on them, and, you know, so now you're running and you're around people who are also runners, and then you can also, at that time, that's your networking, that's your opportunity. So you created opportunity for yourself to grow your business. And so what advice would you give, you know, at this point in your career when it comes to promotion and advertising?
I inherited something great with Doug because, you know, Doug had a relationship with the New York Roadrunners here in New York City, and the New York Roadrunners run the New York City Marathon. And New York Roadrunners offers different classes for running and so on and so forth. And deep water running has always been one of those classes on their, you know, on their website for you to be able to go. So I've been fortunate that that's one way to always be in contact with runners, you know, period. But it took a while for me to, like you said, with shirts and things like that. That's hard when you're, you know, that's hard because that is actual, you know, money that you're investing. I had to finally learn that, you know, what do they say? You have to spend money to make money.
Right.
So you just want to try. I try to be smart about what I'm spending money on. Not all advertising works, you know, not all advertising works. So word of mouth was always the thing, you know, for years with Doug, it was always word of mouth. And now, you know, so I've done things like that. Now these days there are fitness networking, things like ClassPass and places where you can find my workout, buy a workout and show up. That has helped a lot. But for the most part, it's been, you know, word of mouth and then having a good, trying to have a good contact list and email list.
And keeping up with that, I'm sure, is work in itself. So for those that are listening right now, you still have time to set up your free Blog Talk Radio profile and chat with us online. You're more than welcome to call in and talk with our guest this afternoon before he leaves us. And you can definitely do that at 646-564-9792. If you are on our chat at this time, I went ahead and typed in Mr. Valentin's website. And if I'm not mistaken, it is www.rjvalentinsdeepwaterrunning.com, correct?
Mm-hmm. Or better yet would be my blueoceanswimming.com website, where you have both the swimming and a deep water running page.
Okay. blueoceanswimming.com, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Now, I know sometimes when you talk about your clients, you mention a card. What is this card that these clients of yours have? What is this card?
It's another thing I think over all the years that's helped is that it's easy for you to try deep water running, right? So people can either drop in, you know, again, I'm a small business, so you don't need to make a reservation, you know, so people can drop in, you can pay per workout. You know, and I get a lot of that. You know, people try it. They come back. Sometimes they come back after a couple of weeks, so on and so forth. There's no commitment that way, and I think that's helped, you know, constantly bring me, you know, keep funneling different people, new people. Some people just continue to drop in for a long time. Some people buy a punch card, which is just, it's just a way for you to pay for workouts. It's a little bit more of a commitment. In other words, you either have a 7-punch card or a 20-punch card, and people can buy a 7-punch card. It's good for 3 months where they can use it for 3 months or 7 workouts. They can come to any workout on the schedule. And then a 20-workout, you know, they have 20 workouts, so you have 6 months to use that, you know, anywhere, any night they want. They can just drop in, bring their card, and they get their card punched. So so I've always had, you know, that it's always, that's always been how, you know, the model, it's always been, you know, people can drop in and pay per workout, people can buy a card or not buy a card, you know, like that. And so I don't know, I have people who've been with me doing deep water running since, you know, Doug used to do it, and people who are still customers, you know, and they buy cards, they buy 20 cards, some of them, you know, and then some new people who come who really, you know, like it and believe in it. And, you know, it's still a great deal here in New York City, as much as, you know, whether the cards or a drop-in is. And, yeah, it's just, it's a discounted rate, you know, card.
How many pools are you working out of now?
I'm working out of 3 pools now.
And if you are in the the New York area, where are some of these pools?
There's a workout at John Jay College on 59th Street and 10th Avenue. That's on a Monday night. And I rent the there's a church on Park Avenue and 50th Street, St. Bartholomew's Church. And then I'm at the 92nd Street Y on Lexington Avenue.
So you're at the church as well as the John Jay College, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. And what was the name of the church again? I'm
sorry. St. Bartholomew's Church.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know what I do? I as an independent coach, I rent, you know, I rent these different facilities to teach my class in, whether it's swimming or deep water running.
We need to work on that. So if you are listening to the show, let's understand that Mr. Valentin needs his own pool. So we,
that's right.
So everybody could be in one location. But then do you find that, like, do they ever say to you, you know, when are you going to be on this side? When are you going to be on this side? You know?
Hey, well, you know, when you're, I tell you, it's very, you know, in New York City, I might have a class on, you know, East 92nd Street, which I do, and you might live on West 92nd Street. Do you know that that might be too far for you? You may not want to come across the park.
So, right.
That's
right.
What you have here, you know, and so in a way, it's kind of great that I have these different places that, that you know, people can come, because people will seriously not travel, you know, across town to a workout when they live on the, and they live on the east side, they don't want to come to the west side. And you guys don't obviously live in New York City. That's literally like a mile walk across the park to the west side of or a train, you know, really easy to do, but.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's New York City. So, so in a way, it helps to be in different places.
Oh, I'm sure. As far as the pools are concerned. Now, what about did you happen to? I know you talked a little bit about how you teach deep water running, but did we go into more of your technique? Remember last night we were talking, and I didn't want you to say anything about it. Yeah. So
we have
a few more minutes, and yeah, I definitely want you to go into that.
Well, okay, so that's great, because it's not that deep water running itself is unheard of, or that, you know, but the technique that I use, that I was taught by Doug Stern, is unique, right? And so any motions against the water are going to create some resistance, right? You know, so even if you're running in the water without, like, my technique, it's still going to give you a great, you know, workout versus running against the air, or, you know, the water is just thicker than the air, and just moving through the water is going to give you benefits, right? Therapeutic and cardio, like, benefits, right?
Yeah.
But what we do, what I do, there are two things that are unique about deep water running, and that is that you're in a stationary position. Like I said, you want to be in one place. I get a lot of, like, college athletes, people who come, and I explain to them with deep water, and they might say, oh, yeah, I did this in college. You know, I got hurt. My coach put me in the water, and I did, you know, I ran in the water. And that's true. It's just So I try to create as much resistance against the water as I can, right? So in our case, when you're running, you're not running and bending your arms and legs, which give you a little shorter, it just won't create as much resistance against the water. So what's unique about our technique is you want to be stationary, right? Which, as I mentioned before, it's hard for you to do. It'll show you some imbalances if you're not stationary. But what makes that hard to do, being stationary, is you're also trying to work against maximum resistance of the water. So in my case, when you run, your leg is straight. Your leg is, is pretty much straight. And you're working from you're taking these pendulum motions from your hip swaying your leg, you know, and your toes pointed like a ballerina, like it's pointed so that you get as much resistance on your up your leg and so on and so forth. So that's what's unique is, you know, the fact that you're staying in one place, the fact that you're working with a straight leg versus your legs bending like you're bicycling, right? And then the fact that you're even increasing that resistance more with your toe pointed versus, you know, I guess not pointed, especially bending your arms and legs creates a lot less resistance than having your arms and legs straight and working against the water that way.
So I just signed up for a new gym and the pool just opened up and I'm going to try this. I'm going to try
Bring your mother with you. She'll show you how to do it.
Yeah, I am because she signed up for the thing. I'm going to do that. I'm going to be like, come on, just don't drown on me and just keep the belt on because I can't resuscitate you. So, okay, so I touched on a lot of stuff about Mr. Valentin. I'm very happy to have him on the show today. Very excited about bringing him out here to Phoenix to teach deep water running. So if you want to assist in any way, definitely hit me up at Divine Valentin on Facebook, V-A-L-E-N-T-I-N. You can email me on my on Gmail at Divine, D-I-V-I-N-E, the number 4, the word life at L-I-F-E at gmail.com. Robert, thank you for being on the show today. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah. Oh, I love you. Thanks for having me.
I love you. You're very welcome, and definitely hit him up at rjvalentinsdeepwaterrunning.com or blueoceanswimming.com. You can always also contact him on Facebook, and your Facebook name would be?
Blue Ocean Swimming.
And there you go. So I hope everyone continues to have a great Sunday. I know I will. I'm ready to relax and maybe spit some poetry tonight, so I hope y'all will be with me. And thank you so much again, Robert. I love you.
Okay, I love you too. Have a great year.
Thanks.
I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Have a great one, everyone.